If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, to our text this morning, Malachi chapter 2 and verses 13 to 16. As we continue in our series, Home Improvement, Malachi chapter 2, verses 13 to 16. Another thing you do, you flood the Lord's altar with tears. You weep and wail because He no longer pays attention to your offerings or accepts them with pleasure from your hands. You ask, why? It is because the Lord is acting as the witness between you and the wife of your youth, because you have broken faith with her, though she is your partner, the wife of your marriage covenant. Has not the Lord made them one? In flesh and spirit, they are His. And why one? Because He was seeking godly offspring. So guard yourself in your spirit and do not break faith with the wife of your youth. I hate divorce, says the Lord God of Israel, and I hate a man's covering himself with violence as well as with his garment, says the Lord Almighty. So guard yourself in your spirit and do not break faith. And let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word, and I just thank you, Lord, so much for the gift of marriage. I thank you, Lord, for the blessing that it is, and I pray you teach us this morning, Lord, how we need to protect our marriages to keep them the blessing that you intended them to be. Pray you'd come to us now by the power of your Holy Spirit and open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. Dear Abby, my wife has too many dogs, 7 inside and 18 more outside. The inside dogs have no boundaries and they've taken over all the main living space. The sofa and chairs are filthy and destroyed. We can't use the family room at all. The whole house is an eyesore. The carpet is gone. There's dirt and dog hair everywhere. And I'm at my wit's end with no say in the matter. I have dogs with me when I eat, sleep, and try to make love. And my wife just thinks they're cute and no problem at all. What should I do? Signed, Living Like an Animal in Phoenix. People, you talk about a spouse in the doghouse and a marriage that's gone to the dogs. And you know why? Because the husband and the wife both have let something else become far more important than their relationship with each other and didn't protect their marriage. And married couples sitting in this church right now listening to this message, let me ask you this morning, what about us? What are we doing to stay out of the doghouse and protect our marriages and keep them from going to the dogs? The text we have in front of us this morning tells us what we need to do. We're in a series at Fox River right now, a series called Home Improvement, looking at all kinds of things we can do to improve and strengthen and protect and defend the homes and families that God has given us. Lately in this series, we've been looking at how we need to strengthen and improve our families by improving our marriages. And today we see that in order to improve our marriages, we need to protect our marriages from anything that could possibly destroy them. And to see that, we turn today to Malachi chapter 2 and verses 13 to 16. After the Jews came back to the land of Israel, after the Babylonian exile, they rebuilt the city of Jerusalem and the temple and their homes and farms. But 80 years later, the country was tanking because God wasn't blessing them. So God sent them the prophet Malachi to tell them why. It's because they were being unfaithful to God, and in particular by being unfaithful to their spouses in marriage. So in our text today, Malachi tells them, guard yourself and your spirit by guarding and protecting your marriages. And married couples, that is exactly the same thing that we need to do today. Our text this morning, Malachi chapter 2, verses 13 to 16, tells us three things that we need to do in order to protect those marriages that God has given us. And let's look and see what those three things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing we need to do in order to protect our marriages, we need to build a hedge around them so we stay faithful to our spouses, which is exactly what the Jews here were not doing. Verse 14, a lot of Jewish husbands were having a midlife crisis and getting Botox and BMWs and prescriptions for Viagra and breaking faith with their wives so they could take up with all kinds of eye candy foreign women who didn't believe in God. So they were tearing down those hedges instead of building them up. And God tells us here exactly why we need to build those hedges around our marriages. Because a marriage consists of one man and one woman only. Verse 15 says it's only two that become one. From Adam's rib, God made one wife for Adam, not 10,000. And even though other guys in the Old Testament, like Abraham and Jacob and King David, had multiple wives, polygamy was never God's intention from the very beginning. In fact, notice, polygamy doesn't even start in the Bible until after the fall. Genesis chapter 4, verse 19. Polygamy is not something that God ever commanded, endorsed, or said was okay in His Word. That was something that the Jews picked up from the pagan Middle Eastern culture that they were living in. And notice, the Bible always shows that polygamy causes buku problems. I don't know about you, I can't even make one wife happy, let alone three or four. We need to build up those hedges around our marriages, because your marriage is a covenant. Not only a covenant that you make with your spouse, but also a covenant that you make with God. Verse 15 literally says in the Hebrew, has not God made the two one with a portion of His Spirit in the unity? Amen. Verse 14 says, God acts as a witness to everybody of the marriage covenant you made with your spouse, even if you didn't get married by a preacher. So one of the ways we stay faithful to God is by staying faithful to our spouses. You say, well, Kevin, the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. Yeah, but sometimes the grass is greener on the other side of the fence because it's AstroTurf. Because the grass is fake. And you know what? The grass would be greener on our side of the fence too if we watered it more. In Malachi's day, the crops weren't growing, the stock market was crashing, the country was failing. In verses 13 and 14, the Jews cry out to God and say, what's going on? And God says, it's because you're dumping on your wives. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. If you do wrong by your spouse, God will not even hear your prayers. Folks, we need to build up those hedges around our marriages, because even the very state of our nation depends on it. That's how important marriage is to God. We need to build up those hedges as a witness, by being faithful and keeping all the covenant promises that you make to your spouse. You show the world that there is a God who is faithful and keeps all the covenant promises that He makes to them. Are we building those hedges? And this is something that the world is not very good at doing at all. Statistics show one out of every three married people in America will cheat on their spouse at some time during their marriage. One out of three. And the most common place for an affair to start is at work. Statistics show wherever you work, there are at least six people there who want to tear up your marriage and get with you. That's what happened to him. Amazon founder Jeff Bezos was married for 25 years to his wife Mackenzie before he started doing some research projects with a journalist named Lauren Sanchez. And people don't understand the dynamic that occurs when a man works with a woman, so of course they got involved, they started shacking up, they both dumped their spouses, there's two more marriages down the drain. Now people, let me ask you, in all honesty, do you think Jeff Bezos is a handsome guy? No. But see, the number one cause of an affair is not physical attraction. It's finding somebody that you think gives you more attention and more kudos than your spouse does, because you're not building up the hedges. Statistics show over half of all divorces in America today, those divorce cases mention porn addiction as one of the causes. Two out of three divorce cases in America mention an ex or an old boyfriend or girlfriend in social media. One out of every three divorce filings in America uses the term Facebook, because we are not building up the hedges around our marriages. Christians do it as well. Last November the 6th, Christian comedian John Crist, who's appeared all over the world and who has YouTube videos by the hundreds all over the internet, canceled his current tour and his upcoming Thanksgiving special on Netflix after admitting to pressuring all kinds of women into doing sexual favors for him. And that sound you hear is the devil and the world laughing their heads off. That's why I do everything I possibly can to build up the hedges so I can stay faithful to my wife. Two times here in verses 15 and 16, God says, guard yourself in your spirit. And you know why? Because all unfaithfulness starts in your heart, your mind, and your spirit right here. And I know there's somebody hearing me right now saying, Kevin, I've never cheated on my husband. I've never cheated on my wife. How about up here in your mind and in your thoughts? That's why I purposely have a phone that does not access the internet. That's why my office computer is linked to both Linda's and Kathy's so they can check whatever I Google anytime they want. That's why I am very careful about relationships here at church, because there is a very fine line between spirituality and sensuality. I will never counsel a woman by myself. Sue has to be there. And if the woman doesn't want Sue there, the counseling doesn't happen. I never speak anywhere else that my wife Sue doesn't go with me. 90% of the time, I purposely come to this church when I know nobody else is going to be here. And the number one rule for me and every other guy in this place is very simple. Keep your hands off the women. Call me paranoid if you want to. I am building up that hedge to keep my marriage the blessing that God wants it to be. I got this email just last week. Dear user, you have been recorded masturbating to porn on your computer. But don't feel bad. Many people do it, even me once in a while. But you need to remember to block your camera in the future. But for now, if you don't pay me $500 in bitcoins, I will send this video of you to every one of your social media contacts. And then there's contact information. Well, I realized right away this was a scam because, first of all, I don't do that with porn. And secondly, the camera on our computer isn't even hooked up. But you know what's sad? You know why that scam even exists? Because too many people, including too many married people, do use porn like that. Now, is porn a temptation for me? Absolutely. I'm as red-blooded as any guy in this room. But you know what helps? All the girls in porn are so airbrushed and photoshopped and Botoxed, you don't even know what they really look like. Same with models and magazines. Here's Kim Kardashian as she looks on the red carpet. There's what Kim Kardashian looks like when she gets up in the morning. Here's supermodel Gigi Hadid on a cover shoot. This is what Gigi Hadid looks like in her own house. So the image isn't even real. But you know what? My wife, Sue, she is real. None of those girls in porn know me from Adam. They don't love me. They don't care about me. They don't have a covenant with me. But you know what? My wife, Sue, does. I will not compare my wife's body to any other woman's body because this is the one that God chose to love me and know me and care about me and have a covenant with me. This is the one that God specifically chose to meet all my needs and satisfy all my desires, and she does. That's the blessing of building up a hedge. Amen. When Adam saw Eve for the very first time, she was the most beautiful woman in the world because she was the only woman in the world. Husbands, you build up that hedge. If your wife is the only woman in the world you see, she will also be the most beautiful woman in the world you see. You know what my standard of beauty is? She is. You know what beautiful legs look like? They look like those. You know what beautiful arms look like? They look like those. You know what a beautiful face looks like? It looks like that. That's what I put a hedge around. And because of that, when I married my wife, Susan, she was the most beautiful woman in the whole wide world. 26 years later, she is still the most beautiful woman in the whole wide world. And when she's 185, she will still be the most beautiful woman in the whole wide world. So why in the world would I ever want to look or need to look at somebody else? The first thing we need to do to protect our marriages, we need to build that hedge. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second thing we need to do to protect our marriages. We not only need to build a hedge, we also need to deal with the issues that come up in marriage. And that's exactly what the Jews did here. Ezra, the priest who preached in Israel at the same time that Malachi did, told the Jewish husbands to 86 the foreign women and reconcile with their wives. And in Ezra chapters 8, 9 through 11, that is exactly what they did. You got issues, you deal with them. Because marriage problems do not go away on their own. You make them go away by dealing with them, and your marriage is stronger because of it. Now, some issues you bring into your marriage with you. Some of it's baggage from the home you grew up in and the way that you were raised. Years ago, we got a call from a newlywed husband whose wife was cutting herself and puking up everything she ate. Well, we found out that growing up, she had been sexually abused. So we asked the husband, did you know before you got married that your wife was sexually abused by an older brother? And he said, yeah, but I thought getting married would make all of that go away. Well, why would you think that? Because the purpose of marriage is not to fix everybody's problems. That's not what marriage is for. That's what Jesus and the cross and counseling are for. And that should have happened before you got married. You got baggage, you take it to the cross and you let Jesus carry it. Because if you try to carry it yourself, it's going to slow you down and you're going to miss one heck of a flight that God intended you to be on. Actor Ben Affleck had a father who drank like a fish and who abandoned the family when Ben Affleck was only 12 years old. So growing up, Ben Affleck learned the lesson that drinking was the way you deal with life. So when he married Jennifer Garner in 2005, the drinking just continued. So she finally divorced him in 2017 because he had more issues than a magazine stand. You don't work out your issues, you will act out your issues in your marriage. You marry somebody who's an adult child of an alcoholic or somebody who's been abused, you're going to get don't feel, don't talk, and you're going to have trust issues. You marry somebody who's OCD perfectionistic, they're going to try to go all control freak on you all the time. You marry a guy who made a baby with an old girlfriend, chances are you're going to be dealing with that woman for the rest of your life. Now, does that mean that those marriages won't work? Of course not. Because 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5 says, everything is sanctified by the Word of God and by prayer. You just need to be aware, though, of the issues that you're going to be dealing with. To protect your marriage, you need to deal with the issues that come up in every marriage. Because the biggest cause of divorce is not one big thing. It's a lot of little things that never get resolved. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. Like money. When you get married, all money is not my money or your money. All money is our money. So even if one of you gets an inheritance from a long-lost crazy uncle, all that money is still our money, and both of you get to decide how to spend it. And if you refuse, that's telling your partner that the money is a lot more important than they are, and you don't trust them enough to share it. Not a good thing for a marriage. Back in 2005, actor Brad Pitt divorced his wife, actress Jennifer Aniston, because Brad Pitt wanted babies and Jennifer Aniston didn't. Now, usually it's the wife who wants a baby or another baby, and it's the husband who doesn't. And I realize that a baby is an incredible gift that a husband can give a wife. But there's some wives listening to this sermon right now. If God wants you to have another baby or a baby to start with, He will change your husband's heart. And if He doesn't, you need to love your husband first, like you're supposed to. You love the husband that you do have more than the baby that you don't have. Or at least don't have right now. Because there's all kinds of kids, even kids sitting in this church right now, who are here because the husband changed his mind. So don't make it a thing in your marriage. Just keep taking it to the Lord. The issue of who does what. I have no idea how to do laundry. You've got lights and darks, but then you've got stripes. Is a stripe a light or a dark? Then you've got your delicates and your hand washables. And you've got to put in detergent, bleach, and fabric softener. Then you've got hot water, warm water, cold water. You've got wash, rinse, spin. But then what do you do about static cling? There's more details to cover than the invasion of Iraq. That's why at our house, Sue does the laundry. Incompetence does have its benefits. Clothes and appearance. Sue will look at me and she'll say, "Are you going to town like that?" And I'll say, "I got pants on." See, wives don't realize us guys really do know what looks good and what doesn't. We just don't care. Conflict resolution. Sue says, if it matters to me, it should matter to you too. But I say, if it doesn't matter to me, it shouldn't matter to you either. See where we're at? Women have a lot better memories than guys do. Husbands, if your wife said you said it, you said it. If your wife says you did it, you did it. Women have such good memories, guys. They can remember things you did before you were even married. They can remember things you did before they even started dating you. They can remember things you did before they even knew you were alive. So don't fight it. Just fess up and take your lumps. Conflict resolved. Worst of all, though, are those couples who have all kinds of issues that don't deal with them at all. And those marriages have no arguments, there's no fighting, there's no screaming, because they have become really good at having really bad marriages that are dying from neglect. You got to deal with your issues. And sometimes those issues come right out of left field, like sickness and disability. Back in 1965, Navy pilot John McCain married a swimsuit model named Carol, and they had three kids together. Carol was the woman that John McCain dreamed about every night for 5 years while he was a POW in Vietnam. But then in 1969, Carol had a really bad car accident. Arms and legs were crushed, horribly disfigured, 23 different surgeries. She had to literally 5 inches cut out of her legs in order to save her legs. And forever after walked with a limp. So in 1973, when hero John McCain came home from Vietnam, his wife did not look anything like the woman he married. So of course, he divorced her and married a beauty queen named Cindy. And the rest is history. Married couples, you don't quit when it gets hard. You don't break faith with your spouse when they need you the most, because sometimes your marriage vows are the most important when they are the most difficult to keep. Just like she found out. One of the biggest stars in country music over the last 30 years was Randy Travis. Sold over 25 million records and won enough awards to sink a battleship. Always claimed that he was a Christian, and in the year 2000 started recording gospel songs almost exclusively. But Randy Travis' personal life was an absolute mess. 2009, he went bankrupt from a bunch of bad business decisions. 2010, he divorced his first wife. And then the alcohol problems that he had for years and years started to take their toll. August of 2012, police found Randy Travis naked in a ditch in Grayson County, Texas, and arrested him for DUI and threatening to kill a police officer. The guy was an absolute train wreck. But when nobody, and I mean nobody, wanted anything to do with Randy Travis, God sent a born-again Christian woman named Mary Davis to come into his life and bring him back to Christ. January of 2013, Randy Travis had a viral respiratory infection that caused him to have a massive stroke while he was in a hospital in Dallas, Texas. And doctors had to do surgery to relieve pressure on his brain. And people, Randy Travis was dying. Flat on his back, unconscious, machines keeping him alive, doctors this close to pulling the plug, and they kept telling people, it's time to let him go. But Mary Davis in that room kept praying that God would raise him up. So she whispered in Randy Travis' ear, if you want to fight this, you've got to tell me. And with all the strength he could muster, he squeezed her hand and started shedding tears. So doctors did more surgery. And after that, Randy Travis spent the next 6 months learning how to walk and talk all over again. And it was Mary Davis that saw him through all the physical therapy and all the speech therapy every step along the way, every single day. 2015, they got married. And they moved back to Randy Travis' house in Tioga, Texas. And Randy Travis didn't know a toilet from a TV remote. And it was Mary Davis who trained him all over again and walked him through everything all over again, just like a 2-year-old child. She never lost her patience. Never complained, never got mad at him, never brought up anything about his past. All she did was show him grace. Now, from time to time, Randy's old music friends would show up and visit him. And along with Mary, they taught Randy Travis how to sing again and how to use his voice again. And Mary would put that guitar in his lap, and with her own fingers, she would teach him guitar chords all over again. People, can you imagine? Physical therapy and speech therapy every single day, hour after day after week after year, for over 3 years. Taking him to church every Sunday, Bible study every Thursday afternoon, devoting her life to him, pouring herself into him. And she wasn't doing it for the money, because Randy Travis was broke. Why did Mary Davis do it? This is what she said. You just have to stay faithful to your vows in sickness and in health, knowing you're not doing it for your spouse so much as you're doing it for Christ. You do that and keep Jesus at the center of your relationship. The Lord gives you all the strength you need to overcome anything. So even though there's times you feel like walking away, that commitment holds you there, all by God's grace working through you. Now, did all that work pay off? October 16th, 2016, Randy Travis was inducted into the Country Music Hall of Fame. And during the ceremony, for the very first time in almost 3.5 years, Randy Travis actually sang in public again from the stage of the Grand Ole Opry. And this is what it looked like.
There's a river hiding me.
And why amazing grace? Because it's only by God's amazing grace that Randy Travis is still alive. And it's only by God's amazing grace that Mary Davis came into his life and walked him through every step of his recovery. And it's only by God's amazing grace that Randy Travis is now touring again and lifting up Jesus. Married couples, listen to me. I don't care what kind of issue you have in your marriage. I don't care what kind of hurts may have blindsided you from right out of left field. You truly put Jesus Christ in the center of your marriage. You depend on Him and trust in Him. He will give you whatever grace you need to deal with and overcome any issue there is. Because Luke chapter 1 verse 37, nothing is impossible with God. Amen. The second thing we need to do to protect our marriages, we need to deal with the issues. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third thing we need to do to protect our marriages. We not only need to build the hedges, we not only need to deal with the issues, but third, we just need to stay married. Verse 16, guard your spirit, don't break faith, and stay married. And to do that, we husbands and wives just have to forgive each other for the hurts that we cause. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, forgive your spouse as God in Christ has forgiven you. Doesn't mean what your spouse did was okay. Doesn't mean it didn't hurt you or your marriage. What it does mean is that for the sake of your marriage, you're not going to be harder on your spouse than Jesus is. Because if Jesus can forgive them, you can forgive them. Amen. And not just by saying it, but by your actions and by the way you treat them. Because they can tell. And what happens if we don't? Last July, 99-year-old Antonio Conte from Florence, Italy, divorced his 97-year-old wife, Rosa, after 77 years of marriage, because he found some letters that she had written to a guy that she cheated with back in 1948, 7 years into their marriage. 77 years of marriage. You can't forgive and write it out? You're throwing away 77 years of marriage for something that happened 70 years ago? And what does that 99-year-old man think he's going to do? Create a dating profile and start swiping on Tinder? For crying out loud, forgive your spouse. And stay married. Because too many couples a day get divorced way too fast and way too easy. American Bar Association, here are some actual reasons why couples have gotten divorced in America in just the last 5 years. Because the husband snores. Because the wife snores. Because the wife has bad breath and roots for the Packers. Husband squeezes toothpaste from the top of the tube. Husband won't go shopping with wife. Husband too good of a cook and the wife gains weight. Husband psychologically traumatized by seeing wife without makeup. Wife voted for Donald Trump. I could go on and on. 2016, actress Gwyneth Paltrow divorced her husband, Chris Martin. And to this day, they still say they're the best friends. Each other's best friend. And they even take vacations together. Folks, if they're that chummy, why couldn't they have stayed married? People get divorced way too soon. According to Lifeway, 82% of all couples who describe their marriage as bad, but who don't get a divorce, describe their marriage as good less than 5 years later. So married couples, hang in there and don't let one bad feeling cause you to make a really bad decision. Stay married. You got problems? Don't let them fester. Go to counseling with a real Christian counselor who will point you to Jesus Christ. You say, Kevin, my spouse won't go with me. Then go by yourself, because even that can start changing your marriage because you're half of the relationship. God, change my husband. And if you don't change my husband, change me and the way I respond to him. Now, I'm not saying there aren't real biblical grounds for divorce, because there clearly are. There's way too many Christians today who have this idea there's never any excuse for anybody to ever get a divorce. And they're wrong. And the reason they say that is because they never had a spouse that slept with your best friend or busted your teeth out or snorted all the money up their nose. Thank God, though, the Lord is a lot more merciful and allows divorce in three different cases. Three cases where you can get a divorce and it's not a sin. And sometimes even necessary. The first case is adultery. Jesus said, Matthew chapter 19, verse 9, it is not a sin to divorce your spouse if they cheat on you. Last July, Annette Roque finally filed for divorce from her husband, NBC host Matt Lauer, after he was charged with I don't know how many counts of sexual harassment and even sexual assault. Totally destroyed their marriage, humiliated her and their kids, and absolutely ripped their hearts out. That's why God allows divorce. So hurting people can get out of a bad situation where they're going to get hurt even more if they stay in it. You say, but Kevin, God hates divorce, verse 16. Yeah, you know why God hates divorce? God hates divorce because of the bad things that cause it and what those bad things do to people. And if those bad things don't stop, if they don't change, divorce is going to happen, and sometimes it's necessary. Second case where God allows divorce is abuse. Verse 16, God hates a man covering his wife with violence as he would a garment. In Malachi's day, during a Jewish wedding ceremony, the groom would take his robe and he would throw it over top of his bride as a sign of his pledge to protect her. But if a husband is abusing his wife instead, that marriage is broken in the eyes of God and it's over. Well, Kevin, I made a vow to God. Yeah, and your husband busted it into a million pieces. Listen, I don't care what some stupid pastor told you about keeping your vows. If you're getting beat on, you get out of that marriage as fast as you possibly can. Because the beating is not going to stop. It's only going to get worse. And one day, that husband is going to kill you. Third case where God allows divorce is abandonment. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 15, Paul says, if the problem spouse leaves and doesn't want to reconcile, you are under no obligation whatsoever to go after him. And abandonment can also include addiction. Because if your spouse has checked out of your marriage by drinking and drugging and is not trying to stop, not trying to change, that is a legitimate reason for divorce. Now, is divorce absolutely required in any one of those situations? Of course not. Jay-Z and Beyonce saved their marriage by going to counseling after Jay-Z cheated on her. We've got couples in this church right now who stayed married even when one of the spouses was addicted to cocaine and heroin. So divorce is always, always, always supposed to be only the last resort. What you do after you've tried absolutely everything else that you can think of to save your marriage. And if you do get divorced for a biblical reason, and the marriage is over in the sight of God, you can marry somebody else, because one of the reasons for the divorce is to free you up so you can find somebody else who will stay faithful to you. And I know there's some people listening to the sermon right now thinking about your own situation. Kevin, should I stay in my marriage and keep hoping that things will change? Or should I just realize they never will and cut my losses and walk away? Kevin, should I get a divorce? I've been asked that question 10,000 times. And here's one thing I always tell them. If you are getting physically beaten, you get out of that marriage ASAP. Otherwise, I can't tell you to get a divorce. Only God can tell you that. What's He saying to you right now? You say, well, Kevin, I tried everything. You did? What did you try? How long did you try? How hard did you try? What else did you try? Because sometimes, instead of getting a divorce, you just need to hang in there and bite the bullet and double down on keeping your wedding vows, even though you don't want to. Dear Abby, 13 years ago, I was a married woman, but in love with another man. And whenever I saw him, my heart just raced. And I thought no one knew until one day, one of my students slyly looked at me and said, "You really like Mr. Black, don't you?" And it shocked me so much, I sat down and thought, what if everybody knew? What if it got back to my family? I imagined my husband's face. He had done nothing to deserve the hurt it would cause him. And how would I ever explain it to our girls, because they adored their father? So I started making changes. I stopped eating lunch with Mr. Black and started looking for another job. I started writing my husband little notes thanking him for all the things he did for his family and me. It rekindled what was missing in our relationship, simple love and appreciation that's so rare. 13 years later now, I know that was the best thing I ever did. And even better, to this day, I can look at myself in the mirror without any shame. You're listening to this sermon right now, and you say you tried everything? How about trying that? Back in 2007, researchers at the University of Virginia recruited some married couples, slid the wives into MRI machines, and told them they were going to get an electric shock on their ankles. But when the husbands stood by the machine and held their wives' hand, it blocked in the wives' brain that part that registers pain, and the wives didn't feel hardly any shock at all. And why? Because our hands have all kinds of nerve endings and receptors, and when we hold hands, it pushes on that pressure point between the thumb and the forefinger. So holding hands has an even bigger calming effect than tranquilizers and oxycodone. So holding hands lowers your blood pressure. It lowers your heart rate. It boosts the immune system. It helps with sinus infections, toothaches, headaches, you name it. But here's the kicker. That study showed not only any hand will do, because the benefits only come when you're holding your spouse's hand and nobody else's. And the benefits are even greater, not only holding hands, but when you interlock your fingers with each other. Because holding hands is not just a physical thing, it's an emotional and a spiritual thing. And it sends a message to the world about your relationship. If you want to hold hands, you want to be close. If you don't want to hold hands, you don't want to be close. So husbands and wives sitting in this room right now, would you just reach out and hold on to each other's hand? Just hold hands. And keep holding and close your eyes. Lock your fingers with each other and close your eyes. Now let me ask you this morning. Do you feel that? You say, yeah, Kevin, my husband's got a hangnail. Not that. That other thing. That's the unity that God created in your marriage. Has not God made the two of you one? In flesh and spirit, you are His. And by holding hands, you are saying, we're together. And we are in this together. I do, and I would do it again. I love you. I am committed to you. And I'm not going anywhere. That thing you feel, that's the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And the longer you hold on to that, the harder it will ever be for anybody or anything to ever pull you two apart. But heads bowed, eyes closed, still holding hands. There's other kinds of married people in this room right now. Another kind of couple. You're holding hands, but not because you want to. You say, Kevin, I don't even want to be in the same room with my spouse, let alone hold their hand because it feels like a dead fish. So what? Take all that anger and frustration and irritation and give it to the Lord and hold their hand anyway. I'm not asking you to make out with them. I'm asking you to hold their hand. Even if you don't feel anything. Even if you don't feel like it. Even if you think it's too late for your marriage, do it because feelings follow actions. And there is wonder working power in a touch, a word, a look, even holding hands, because holding hands reminds you of that unity that God put in you and in your marriage however many years ago. Did not God make the two of you one? In flesh and spirit, you are still His. And by holding hands with your spouse, you are saying, we're still together. And we are still in this together. And regardless of the problems in our marriage, right now I am saying simply by faith in Jesus Christ and only to honor Him, I still love you. And I'm still committed to you. And I'm still not going anywhere. Keep your eyes closed. Keep your hands together. There's couples sitting in this room right now. You are this close to getting a divorce. Because your I do has become I don't or I won't. This close to cashing in the chips and walking away. Listen to me. Recommit to your marriage. Recommit to your marriage today. I don't care what shape your marriage is in. I don't care how much damage has been done to it. I don't care if your partner that you're holding hands right now has already checked out of your marriage, emotionally, physically, sexually. I don't care how unresponsive they may be. You recommit to your marriage. Some of you, your partner's not even here. You can't control the decision they make about recommitting, but you can control your own decision. God started your marriage, He can heal it. If you want Him to. And if you let Him. So how many couples in this room right now, with their eyes closed, holding hands together, are willing to say inside, I am not divorcing, I am not quitting, I am not giving up, I am not walking away from this. My hope is not in me or in my partner I'm holding hands with. My hope is only in Jesus Christ. He created this marriage. He can bring it back to life again. Regardless of the decision my partner makes, I'm deciding to recommit. And I'm going to continue to love and to serve my partner even if they don't love and serve me. And I'm just going to trust God for the results. Listen, I have no idea what's going to happen to your marriage, but I do know this. God always, always, always honors obedience. And since you already have your hands together, let's pray. Lord, I pray for every marriage in this room right now. I have no idea what the shape of any marriage truly is. Couples only know that, and you only know that. But Lord, I just pray for every married couple in this room right now. I pray for the couples, for whatever reason, their spouse is not here. I just ask, Lord, that You would strengthen these marriages, that not one couple at Fox River would become another statistic. And Lord, there are couples in this room right now who are dealing with an unbelievable amount of stress and hurt and problems that come from jobs and neighbors and children, all kinds of situations that are just ripping them apart. I just thank You, Lord, that those couples are still together. And I pray, Lord, that You would work through those situations to make these marriages even stronger. And I pray for any couple that's listening to me right now, Lord, who is having problems in their marriage. They do want to quit. They feel no love. They feel nothing. They're just dead inside. I pray, Lord, for a brand new spark of life, Lord, in that relationship. You would pour Your Holy Spirit into them. Realize if they got problems, they need to work them out. If for Your sake and nobody else's, and for Your glory. Pray, Lord, that You would just hold us together here as married couples. This church is only as strong as the marriage is in it. Your kingdom is only as strong as the marriage is in it because we're Your representatives here. Pray, Lord, You truly would bind us together. All this we ask in Your name and thank You. Amen.